Remember that. 2 Samuel 23 now. 2 Samuel 23. I hope God will give grace to me to preach this. I hope He'll give you grace to hear it. If He will, you're going to go out of here with a blessing. Second Samuel 23, read verse 5. This is my text. Although my house be not so with God. David had problems at home. His wives and his children, he had troubles. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. For this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although we make it not to grow. Covenant. You know what the word covenant means? It means a contract. That's what it means. It means a testament. That's what Old Testament, New Testament. Covenant means a contract. A will. A will and testament. A contract. Do you know anything about this everlasting covenant David's talking about? An everlasting covenant. Do you? Isaiah 55 and Acts chapter 13 both talk about the sure mercies of David. That's what he's talking about here. That's what we read in Psalm 89. Do you know anything about the sure mercies of David? Everlasting covenant. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you are saved, or if you're going to be saved, it will all be according to this covenant. Completely according to this covenant, this contract. It's on your head. I could go into a great detail about explaining various covenants in the Bible, but I'm not going to. All I want to do this morning is declare unto you the covenant. All right? We could get bogged down and miss the covenant, the only true covenant that matters. Right to the point now. Every human being that has been saved or will be saved is saved. When I say saved, I mean saved from the wrath of God, from the judgment, certain judgment of God, and condemnation. They are saved or will be saved because of a covenant God made, a will, a testament, a contract God Almighty made. It's not a contract He made with us. It's concerning us, but it's not, He didn't make it with us. We weren't around when this contract was made. It's not a contract or a covenant that's conditional. Listen to me now. It's not an agreement that God makes with us that He will meet certain, He will do certain things if we meet certain conditions or requirements. Now, this is the heart of what these heretics are preaching today. This is the heart of all error. Listen to me. Everything that's being preached today is along this line. They're saying, if you do something, God will do something. Right? They're saying, if you believe, God will save you. If you remain faithful, God will be faithful. Isn't that what's being preached today? Huh? Everybody, exception of a few. If you quit this or that, turn over a new leaf, get right with God now, God will do that. God will save you. God will do that. If you don't fall now, if you keep on keeping on, then God will keep on keeping on. He'll reward you someday. That is a covenant of works. That is an agreement of works, isn't it? God says, if you do this, I'll do that. That's a conditional covenant. You do your part, God will do His. That sounds like partners to me, doesn't it? Salvation's a partnership. Is that what the Scripture said? Part God, part man. Is that salvation? No. You know, if something's a partnership, you get equal shares, don't you? Huh? Don't you share everything equally? What about the glory? You'd have to share the glory, wouldn't you? Well, God did His part, but I did mine. So we're going to share the glory together. I'm going to have a little crown. You have a big crown. Isn't that what's being preached today? Huh? I'm not lying. I ain't lying. They're lying. That is a lie. There's no truth in any of that. First of all, God says, I'll not share my glory with another. No glory. Secondly, He says, man is dead in trespasses and sins, doesn't he? Huh? He can't do anything. What can a man do to get to God?
Nothing. God's got to come to him.
I'm not stretching it. Telling it like it is. God says man is dead in trespasses and sin. He can't call. He can't repent. He can't believe. He can't obey.
Unless God does something first.
Right? Thirdly, God says, by what? By grace are you saved. It's a gift. Not of works. It's a gift. A free gift. You don't earn this. In any way, shape, form, or fact. It's not a reward. It's a gift. It's not merit. It's a gift. It's not if you meet certain conditions. It's a gift. Unconditioned. It's a free. You don't do anything to get the gift either. It's a sovereign. He discriminates. He decides who gets it. Gift. Salvation is by grace. If men and women just learn the term grace, it means gift. Gift, doesn't it? Not works. Gift. It's grace. It's works. Which is it, Henry? It's grace. Gift. And He gives it to whomsoever He will. And He says it's by grace through faith, doesn't it? There you are, preacher. Through faith. There, you must believe.
What is faith?
Is that a work? Yeah, God will save you by His grace, but you must believe. Can't. Diana, can't. That's a gift, too. Isn't it? No man can come unto the Father. Come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Faith's a gift. That is not of yourself. Why? Because you'd boast of that, wouldn't you? And that's what men are doing. If they say grace, 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 and then when it comes time to that says they're going to stand right before God Almighty and say, well, I believed. I did do that. I did make my decision for Jesus. It's a gift. Even that's a gift. We ascribe, God's people ascribe everything to grace. Even repentance. Say, man's got to repent. It's the goodness of God that leads him to repentance. It's all of grace, isn't it? It's all of grace. All of grace. The only thing we have earned, what does the Scripture say we have earned? The wages we have earned? Death. But the gift, the grace of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, my. Through a covenant God made with Christ. See, He's the one that earned something, John Davis. He's the one that earned something. and we get what's coming to him. A covenant God made with his son, not with Moses, not with Abraham, not with David, not with you and me, an agreement, a contract, a will and a testament made by God with his son before anybody was ever around. It's called an everlasting covenant, of which Christ is called the surety. I just love the sound of these things. He's called the surety. He's called the mediator. He's called the head, covenant head. Another term, executor of the will. Now, let me ask you, what good news, if gospel means good news, and heretics are so-called preaching this today, calling it gospel, saying if you do this, God will do that. If you take the first step, God will meet you halfway. If you just believe, God will this and that. If you keep faithful and so forth. What good news is there in that? That if you do this, God will do it. What good news is there in that? What if I went to the VA hospital this morning, and there's a fella sitting in a wheelchair. He's had his spinal injury, and he is a quadriplegic. He can't move. He can't get out of that chair. He's been in it for years. What good news is there if I go to that fellow and say, buddy, I've got good news for you. Oh, I've got good news for you. Listen to this. Now, listen. If you'll take the first step, I'll meet you. I'll help you the rest of the way. Isn't that good news? Not to him, buddy. He can't move. He can't take the first. Or better yet, go down to the graveyard. This is what the Scripture says. Go down to the graveyard and talk to a grave down there. If you'll just call, just ask me. Just call on me. You don't have to move. All you got to do is call. Call now and I'll help you out of there. Come on. Got good news. He can't even call. He's dead. Isn't it? Man is dead in trespasses and sin. Here's the good news. Christ comes to the grave and says, come on out of there. Picks him up, breathes life into him, says, now call. Lord, have mercy. You see, these things are impossible, right? A quadriplegic can't walk, can he? With God, it's possible. Christ showed, I can do that too. Said, which is greater? Tell a man to get up and walk out of a wheelchair, or tell a dead man to rise, a spiritually dead man, to walk with God? Huh? Which is greater? He says, I'll do both. I'll show you. I've got power to do both. With man, it's impossible, isn't it? But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. With God, you know, a blind man can't make himself see. A deaf man can't make himself hear. A lame man can't make himself walk. A dead man can't make himself live again. But with God, all things are possible. He who made the eye to see can make a man, a flesh and blood man, see God. Not with these eyes, but with the eye of faith. I mean, see Christ just as really as if he was standing right in front of you. Have you? Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen his face. Well, tell me what he looks like. If you got time, we'll go from Genesis 1 on through, and I'll tell you what he looks like. I've seen his face just as really as, more really. Henry, more really than your face. Your face is changing every day. Getting old. Changing every day. He never changes. I see his face just as really. He who made the eye to see can make the inner eye of faith see him. He blinds the rest, but gives eyes. And they say, don't you see? And they say, I see him.
And they try to say, don't you see? They said, I don't see. They're blind. But God made them to see. And he who made the ear to hear, these ears, can make people spiritually hear his voice. He never speaks out loud, though, Terry. God never speaks out loud to anybody. And a man's lying if he says that God had. He doesn't anymore. God used to speak out loud to the fathers by the prophet, but now in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son, by his Word. I've heard him speak just as really as if he was standing right here beside me. He said, Paul, now this is for you. Just as if he called my name. This is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation. Jesus Christ died for you, Paul. Have you heard his voice? I have. He who made the ear can make the inner ear hear, just though an inaudible voice. He who made man to live out of the dust, a creature of the dust. Can these bones live? Doesn't look like it to me. Thou, Lord, knowest. You know. Watch this, he says. I'm the only one that can do it. And breathed into Adam and made that vessel of dirt, of clay that he formed, live and become a man. And this old fellow who was lying in a gutter in a graveyard of sin, wicked, a maggot, can turn a maggot into a living, God-seeking, God-calling, studious son of God. That's the work of God. With man, it's impossible. But with God, no problem at all. No problem. And it's all, God does it all for his glory. And this, what I just described to you, is what God determined to do in a covenant. In an agreement. Are you with me? Now you are. This is what God determined to do in a covenant. He says, watch what I do. Just broke my watch. Watch what I do. I'm determined. I'm going to make some people. You know, we beheld the creation. The angel beheld the creation of God and glory. This is the most glorious thing ever. God says, watch this. God determined to make a heaven and an earth. And he said, that's good, that's good, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Everything God made is good, that's good. He said, I've saved the best for last. What's this? It's not just good, it's great. So great salvation. So great a creation. Your eyes won't believe it. Though one told you, you won't believe it. And all for his glory. He made a covenant. This is what he did in a covenant. God swore. You know, God sweared. We're not swearing. God did, though. God swore. He said, some are going to see my glory. Maggots are going to see God. Some are going to hear my voice. Not everybody, some. Some are going to live with me forever. Who are they? Who are these some? Who are these people of this covenant? This is what he made this covenant about, these people. That they would see his glory, they'd hear his voice, and they would live with him someday forever. He made an agreement. Who are they? Whosoever will? Well, whoever he makes willing. Whosoever he makes willing. Whosoever believes, is that who he made this covenant about? God made an agreement a long time and looked down through time to see who would believe. That'd be him taking credit for something he didn't do, isn't it? Wouldn't it? Huh? Besides, they're saying today he can't count on that anyway. Some try, and he thought they were going to make it, but didn't. And some that make it that he wasn't expecting. Well, what are you doing here? That's what Jimmy Swaggart said, a new name written. God said, well, I wasn't expecting you. Well, I better write your name down here. Move over, so-and-so here. Well, I'm sure glad you made it. Whosoever believes, whoever God gives faith to, according to that covenant. Whosoever remains faithful, whoever remains faithful, is that who? Whoever he keeps by his power. In short, whoever God chooses, elects,
He made that covenant concerning, a covenant of grace. Now turn over to Genesis 6 with me. Genesis chapter 6. It's a covenant, an agreement concerning their salvation. It's called an everlasting covenant. David said it's ordered in all things and it's sure. And all of these people, in Revelation it says their names are written in a book, the Lamb's book. I just gave it away, didn't I? The Lamb's book of life. Their names are written in a book. It's sealed for all time and eternity. And these people are in that covenant. All right, Genesis 6. What about the covenants that's spoken of throughout the Scriptures? Covenant with Noah here, a covenant with Abraham, a covenant with Moses, and so on. What about those? What about them? Let me. There's a key word here. Look at Genesis 6, verse 17. Genesis 6, verse 17. God says, "Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh." God says, "I'm going to destroy all flesh." All right? God said He said in another place He's going to destroy all flesh again, didn't He? Didn't He? Teresa, He said here He's going to destroy them by a flood. In another place He says He's going to destroy it by fire. He made a covenant, and a sign of this covenant not to destroy flesh with water was a bow. You know there's a bow over the throne of heaven? Look that up yourself sometime. A type of His covenant. Who's at the throne of heaven? Well, God says, "I'm going to destroy all flesh by a fire," too. All right, read on. "I'm going to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life. From under heaven, everything is in earth shall die." Verse 18, talking to Moses, or Noah here. "But with thee, Noah, everybody but you and your family, everybody but you, is going to be destroyed." You say, Noah must have been a special fellow. No, he wasn't. Look back at verse 5. You say, Noah must have been something special. Well, he was special because God chose him. That's why. It wasn't anything different, really. There wasn't anything different about Noah than anybody else. He's an old sinner, just like the rest of them. There was a time when he was living in open sin, just like the rest of them, and deserved to die in that flood, Job. All right, read it. "God saw that the wickedness of man," not men, man, mankind. Who's that?
Noah.
Noah's a man, isn't it? "The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Who is he talking about? Noah and everybody else. Right? You say, "I don't believe that." Read on. "And it repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, God's just speaking in our language so we can understand how much he hates sin. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created." Man, who's that? Everybody from the face of the earth. Man and beast and creeping thing. "Fowls, it repented me that I made. Wish I'd never made him." He's speaking so we can understand just how wicked and vile man is. "But Noah found," what? "Grace in the eyes of the Lord." He found grace. He was found in the covenant of grace. Paul, didn't Paul say, "Oh, that I might be found in Him"? Huh? "That I might win Christ and be found in Him," found in that covenant. You say, "Well, what about verse 9? Noah, now, look at it, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, see there, preacher, and a perfect man. Noah walked with God." So that's why God, no. Verse 8 is before verse 9. Noah was what he was by the grace of God. Noah was verse 9 because of verse 8.
Noah was a just man. God justified him by His grace that is in Christ Jesus. Noah was a perfect man, accepted, perfect, because he was perfect in the Beloved, in Christ. Noah walked with God because God was gracious to reveal Himself to him and make him walk with God by faith. Gave him the faith. Verse 9 is after verse 8, isn't it, Barbara? Huh? Well, look at verse 18 now. Read on. God says to Noah, but with thee, look at it now. Every word is significant. I've read this 1,000 times. 1,000 times. And I've never really seen these things. He says, with thee will I establish my covenant. Not a. Dan, did he say a? Did he say A? Did anybody read A? I will establish a covenant. No, my covenant. You catch the significance? My covenant. My everlasting. One I've had from the beginning. I've had this covenant all along. My covenant. The one I made before the world began to save you, Noah. And he says, I'm going to establish it. I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to reveal it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to carry it through in you, Noah. I'm going to destroy everybody else. But I made a covenant. And he says, I made a covenant. And it's ordered in all things and sure. It's an everlasting covenant to save a people. If he destroyed Noah, the covenant was a lie, wasn't it? But God says, no, I'm going to establish my covenant to save a people with you, Noah. You're starting with you. You. Look, read on. I shall establish my covenant and, read it, John, thou shalt come into the ark. Huh? There's a few smiles in here. I'm going to preach to you from here on out. Terry, he said, you're a no good, rotten bum, but you found grace in God's sight. Why? Covenant. He said, I'll establish my covenant with you. And you will come to Christ. Yeah, you will. All that the Father gave to Christ will come to Christ. God swore it. Now, buddy, we're going to enter in on shouting ground here in a minute. Because every one of us in here are sinners, no good, rotten sinners. Where before God chose us, we're still that way. And will be. And our salvation is dependent on the fact that God won't lie. And He made this covenant, ordered in all things and sure. He says, I'm going to have them. And they'll be mine. And thou shalt come into the ark. A vessel of mercy. What was the ark? It was a vessel of mercy, wasn't it? A haven of rest. A shelter from the time of storm. What was the ark? That ark was Christ. Christ. And God said to Noah, Noah, you and your fellows are going to come in the ship. You're going to know the fellowship in the ark. This could be called the Ark of the Covenant, isn't it? You say wrong one. No. No, it's the Ark of the Covenant too. That ark is Christ. And if you look, he said, my covenant. Rick, he said, my covenant, the covenant. If you look at nearly every time God says covenant in the Scriptures, he says, my covenant. Not a, my, the covenant. The covenant, that covenant. The everlasting covenant God made with Christ and with His Holy Spirit. With His Holy Spirit. A covenant of salvation, a covenant of grace. To give salvation to as many as God gave to His Son in that agreement, that contract. Right? Contract. He said it's ordered in all things and sure. You people, if you make a covenant, an agreement, say you sit down, you agree to buy a house. All right? You're going to buy a house. And you sit down. And there's an agreement. There's a long agreement. That's the reason they have lawyers, you know, to do title searches, make sure there's no loopholes here and there, no stipulations, nothing in there that would loosen the covenant, that would disannul the covenant. You want something that's ordered in all things and sure. And you agree to buy this house, and you said, I'm going to buy the house and everything in it. Everything in that house. Every stitch is in it. And they write it all down. It's all in that. It's all in that agreement. And you sign your name to the dotted line. All right? It's ordered in all things and sure, and you sign your name. Now, if there's a problem with that covenant, you might not get what you paid for, right? Well, God Almighty entered into a covenant concerning the people. He says, I bought them. They're mine. And he entered into a covenant and gave them to Christ, and Christ bought them by his blood, and he wrote all their names down, and God says, I'm going to get what's coming to me. Now, the covenants that we make, our agreements might have loopholes in them. Not God's. He's too wise. There are no loopholes. Ordered in all things and sure. He's going to have what's coming to him. Ordered in all things and sure. This reason David said, this is all my salvation. It's all my desire. All my desire. The sure mercies of David. It's the gospel of a covenant God. God's covenant God. It's the mercies of a covenant God. The sure mercies of David. Ordered in all things and sure. It's all your salvation. If you're going to be saved, it's all your salvation. That's the reason your ears ought to be wide open right now. This is all your salvation. All of it. All your comfort. This is all your comfort too. You want some comfort? You're not going to find it anywhere else but in it. It's all your peace. You trust. With Christ to save the people. Now here it is. Let me just paraphrase. All right? They've only been 28 minutes. God the Father, here's the agreement. The covenant, we weren't around now. There were just three people involved in this agreement. Contract. Contract. Binding. Sealed. Contract. God Almighty said, I'm going to choose a people. I'm going to elect a people. Now, unless anybody has any problem with that, God says nobody's going to be able to number them. That's how good I am, how merciful, how gracious I am. Nobody's going to be able to number them. Unless somebody, that's not fair. God, he didn't have to do it for anybody. But how great our God is in his goodness, he says, I'm going to choose a people which no man can number. I can number them. And I've got them numbered. But no man can number them. And he says, I'll love them. Well, I like that, don't you? Ain't none of them worth loving. They're all together unlovely. God says, I'll love them. You know, God had to make himself love us. You know that? Yeah, I'll say it again. God had to make himself love us. I love sovereign love, though unlovely. And I'll give them to my son. Give them all. I've chosen them. They're mine. I love them. I love them. And I'm going to make them lovely. And I'll give them to my son to save them. But I've got a law that's hanging over their heads. This law is hanging over their head. And they're under it. It's a curse to them all. They're under this curse. They deserve to have it brought down. But I love them. I'm going to save them. I'll give them to my son. Son, it's your turn. What are you going to do? Son says, well, I'll become one of them. It's the only way it could be done. I'll become one of them. I'll become a man. Is this old hat to you? As I said this so many times, it's just Christ said, I'll become a man. It's the only way it can be done.
Huh? I'll become a man, God said, or Christ said, a substitute for all those elect. And I'll live a life. Now you gotta understand what it meant for the Son of God. This is our problem. This is the reason it doesn't mean more to us. We don't understand what it meant for the Son of God to come down here and become a worm. It's more condescension than you and I to go down in the heart of New York City into the ghetto and lie in the gutter for the rest of our for 33 years. It's more condescension than that. It's worse than that. I can't describe. No man can preach it. It's a great mystery. God was manifest in the flesh. But Christ said, I'll become a maggot. I'll become a maggot. God, I'll become a vile, wretched, filthy animal. That's what it's like for God. I'll live in that cesspool. Amazing love. How can it be? I'll live in a sewer for 33 years. I'll listen to their sewer talk. I'll watch their sewer-like way, these sewer rats. Why? I love some of them. I'm going to save them. But they won't want you. Matter of fact, they'll bite you. They'll kill you. But I love them. I'm going to save them. He says, I'll come down here. And I'll let them do all manner of evil to me. I'll let them kill me. And in killing me, I will die the death they deserve. I will die under the sentence of God's wrath, His law, so God can be just. See, they deserve to die. All these sewer rats deserve to die. And I'll become a sewer rat. And I'll let God put me, kill me. Stomp on me. Put me out of His. I'll become all that they are. I'll become it. And God will see me and see them. Stench in His nostrils. And He'll say, I'm going to put you out of my way forever. And that holy life I live a holy life for 33 years. And sweet smell to God. God sees me. Oh, what a lovely man. What a lovely man. And I'll give that to them. I wish I could preach substitution one time. Christ, what He did. He did it, not me. And God looks at me and says, oh, you're lovely to me. You did a good job. Well done. Oh, Lord. I'm a maggot. And He looks at Christ and said, you filthy, rotten, wretched sinner, and kills Him. That was me. The Son agreed to do that. I'll do that. Will you do that? I'll do it. Oh, my. And He says, and I'll die, and then I'll rise from the grave, and I'll sit at the right hand of God, and I'll oversee this whole work. All judgment you committed into my hand, I'll make sure they all get there. And then the Spirit got in on this. The Holy Spirit in His covenant said, I'll do a work in them. Christ did that work for them, you see. Christ did that substitutionary work for them. The Holy Spirit does this work of sanctification in them. In them. He creates spiritual life in them. And it's a mystery. John, it's a mystery. Whereas before they were defiant, like that thief on the cross, sitting there casting things in, and you think you're the Son of God. Who in the world do you think you are? Cussing Him out with the rest of a dying man, hanging on a dying, cussing the Son of God. All of a sudden, Lord. God turned him just like that. Made him sorry. What was that? As the wind blowing. There's a wind blowing that day, you see. There's a wind blowing that day, the Holy Spirit of God blowing where it listed. Two things on the cross. Wind hit one of them. Passed the other one by. It breathed into that man. Life! He saw. His eyes were open. His ears were open. He heard, Lord, I'm sorry. He repented. Oh, I'm getting what I deserve. Just 5 seconds before that, Henry said, "What am I doing here? I don't deserve this." 5 seconds later, "Oh, I'm getting what I deserve." Lord, that's the Holy Spirit. That boy was in the covenant. That thief was in the covenant. He was one of those sheep. And the angels, Joe, the angels, if they'd have known who was in the covenant, they could have been saying, "There's one not going to make it. He's not going to make it. He's about to die." God says, "Don't worry." "Oh, look at him. He's expiring." "I'm not worried. Watch. I can save him when he's young. I can save him when he's old. I can save him in the brink, in the fullness of his life. I can save him at the very end. Watch this." Lord. Lord. This is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit says, "I'll go down there. I'll do this work in them. I'll look for all of them. They got a mark on them." What's the mark? What's the mark of Christ? Got blood on them. Looking for that blood. He goes find them. He's looking for them. Joe, he's going to find every one of them. He left the 99, a multitude that no man can number, in search of those few sheep. There's many out there, but he's searching for a few sheep. Got blood on them. Got blood on them. He said, "I'll make them sorry for their sin. I'll make them repent. I'll get them to call on God." They'll start calling. Once they're cussing God now, they'll be praising God. Thanking God. I'll make them call for mercy. I'll make them bow down to Christ. Once before they'd mash their thumb, they'd say, "Jesus Christ." Now they'll say, "Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." I'll do it. They'll come to Christ. They'll believe Him. Once before they believed it was all in their hands. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll make them see it's all in His hand. And they'll come to Him. And they'll believe, they'll trust Him as their only hope. I'll make them willing. Once before they said, my will, I'll turn that thing around. But they say, thy will." I'll work a change in them too. Slowly, and make them like us. I'll make them like Christ. I'll turn back to the 2 Samuel. And I'll wind this thing up. 2 Samuel. That's the covenant, people. That's the covenant. Did he ask anybody to help out? No, was there anybody around? With whom took he counsel? Isaiah said, huh? "I'll do this if Joe Parks will let me." That's laugh. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." If he'll let me, watch this. He's kicking and bucking tooth and nail against me. Watch this, God says. I'm going to let him. I will. Here's the covenant of grace. I will. And he shall. I will love them freely. And he shall love me. I will do all this for them, and they'll call on me. You have any problem with sovereignty and responsibility, huh? You don't have any problem with responsibility if you see sovereignty. God says, "I will, therefore you shall." What about whosoever will? What about it? Whosoever will. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Right? Revelation 22:17, right, Ed? The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." Well, who's going to come? Whosoever will. Whosoever God makes willing. They'll come. Besides, that's written to the church, isn't it? And he's talking about communion there, too. He's not talking about salvation per se. He's talking about coming in and out and drinking the water. You know, Terry, we can come in and out freely and drink water. Go in and out and find pasture, huh? If you're thirsty, go find water. Natural man can't. He doesn't know what water is. That's not written to everybody. Whosoever will. Barnard, you say, "I'll give $5,000 to the first person who can say, whoever, who'll show me in the Bible where it says, whosoever will, let him come." I get by. He said he never had to pay that debt. Because it says the Spirit and the bride say, come. That him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It doesn't say. It's whosoever will. Believe on, believe, and so forth. He says, I'll make him willing. And this is the covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, sure, sure. And it's all my salvation. And all my desire. It's the only thing I'm, it's all my hope, all my peace, all this old sinner's peace is found in this covenant, people. That's ordered in all things, and sure, all things work together to good for them that love God, who they're called according to His covenant. That's why I'm the only thing I'm interested in. How about you? What do you want to hear this morning? What did you want to hear this morning? Me preach on abortion? Politics? What did you want to hear? Tell me about that covenant. Again. I didn't get it the first time. I bet you Adam, I bet you Adam, after he sinned, what did he want to hear about? Huh? What did he want to hear about? Adam, if you'll just live right. Oh, Adam said, I blew that. Don't tell me that. That haunts me. That curses me. I lied awake at night thinking, what if I hadn't, if only I hadn't done that. Do you lie awake at night, you son of Adam, and say that? If only I hadn't sinned. What did Adam want to hear about? Tell me about that seed coming. Tell me about that one that's going to get me out of this mess I got myself in. Tell me about that again. Well, here it is, Adam. Got good news. He's your covenant head. And he said there in 2 Samuel 23, did you catch it? He said, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant. This is Christ talking here. Ordered in all things and sure, this is all my salvation. Even Christ. It's all mine. The Son of God, the Christian, the believer, says this. It's all my salvation. All my salvation. It's all my hope, all my peace, and all my desire. It's all I want to hear. It's all I want to look into. I'm determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And look at this. Although He make it not to grow. Did that puzzle you when you read it? Although He make it not to grow. Now listen, Deborah. David, Absalom had died. His wives had, Michael, you remember she said, didn't you look good dancing before the ark today? She despised him. He had nothing but trouble. He'd been pursued most of his life. He had a few years of peace. That's a picture of the Son of God. There's just a few years intermingled here and there with nothing but trouble. He had trouble. Behind and before, trouble. But he said, God hath made with me. Although my house not be not so with God. Although my wife doesn't love Him. Although my husband doesn't love Him. Although my children doesn't love Him. I'm convinced and persuaded. I know whom I have believed. He's made with the Christ I know and love an everlasting covenant concerning me, ordered in all things and sure. It's all my salvation and all my desire. That's really the only thing that I'm interested in. Although He make it not to grow. In other words, David's saying, right now, I don't see any prospects of getting out of this trouble I'm in. I don't see when the Lord's coming. I can't see into the future. It looks like more trouble ahead. And you look in at yourself and you say, I don't see any growth. Does that make sense? Although He doesn't make this thing grow rapid, I don't see any prospects. I don't see any progress in myself. I don't see it. But what's your hope, David? an everlasting covenant. That no matter how sinful, God said, doesn't matter how sinful they are, I've chosen them. I'm going to choose them. I'll love them, give them to Christ. And then they live a life, and they're living there, and God says, I don't care how sinful they are right now. They're actually sinful. They're in Christ. And no matter how many times, how sinful they get in the future. Yeah, take the tape where you want to. I don't care who hears it. Reformed and all. I don't care how sinful they get down. David had come through the most sinful time of his life. John, he was through. He was through. His ministry was over. Greatest temptation and trial in his life, he'd just come through. And he's not making it to grow. I don't seem like I've grown any. You older people, doesn't seem like you made much progress on the in the spiritual life, have you? Huh? No matter how sinful they are, a 60-year-old sinner, 70-year-old sinner, you'd think you'd learn by now, wouldn't you? They're just sinners. And God says, I'll save them. They're mine. Why? Covenant. Covenant. I made an agreement. God says, I'll be mindful of my covenant. In the song. Because I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And in closing, we're going to sing that song in a minute that you just sung. Joe, he said, you got this written down twice, 272. You'll be turning there, 272. He said, you got this written down twice. I said, I know it. I know it. He said, well, that's fine if you know it. I said, yeah, they're going to sing it before the message, and then after the message, they're going to sing it. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me. And the overwhelming flood of what? Sin. Trials. Temptation. What's going to support you? God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. He swears it. You know God swears it? Didn't swear on a stack of Bibles. He just needs one. His word. It says men swear by, verily men swear by the greater. You go into the courtroom, you say, do you swear to God? Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Men swear by the greater, by God, an oath for confirmation to them, an end of all strife. They say, you swear? I say, I swear. Swear to God. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs the promise, show you? God says, I'll swear. God says, Holy Spirit says, raise your right hand, Lord. And he raises his right hand. He says, I swear. I'll save them. Who's he swear on? He can swear by no greater but himself. He can't lie. And by two immutable things, his word, thy word is settled, O Lord. And I wish somebody getting some comfort here this morning. You say, but I'm a sinner. Got nothing to do with it. But the covenant does. The fact that you know you're a sinner means you're in the covenant. If you weren't, you wouldn't care. Now get some peace. That's a force into you. Huh? Sinner. The thing that constantly brings us down is our sin, our iniquity. Sin is ever before me. What are we going to do? Same thing it did in the beginning. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Same thing he did in the beginning. Nothing. And watch God do everything. But I'm a sinner. He came to save sinners. That's the only right you got to be saved. The fact that you're a sinner. Two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. His oath, his covenant. What's the second one? Oath and covenant are one and the same. Right? What's the second thing? Somebody willing to sell it? Blood. Did you ever enter into a... You ever become blood brothers with a friend of yours back you boys? I did, you know. I didn't get didn't actually real cut myself, you know. Just might have scratched myself on a briar. And, you know, you lay, oh, blood brothers. He poured out his blood. He said, what do I have to do to tell you? Huh? How do I have to prove it? He that spared not his own son, poured out his soul unto death. He said, I swear, you're mine, Barbara Ross, you're mine. I'll prove it. There's my son, you see him? I'll slit his throat. That was you. You believe? What else he got to tell you? What more can he say to you than he had said? Huh? His oath that he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. Two immutable things, his oath, his blood. Impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who hath fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before. It's a good hope. Why? His oath, his covenant, his blood. John, does that help you? Any? That give you any comfort? It did me. All right, Joe, come up here. See if we can't sing this now. Huh? Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Is that more than doctrine to you now? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sin. 272. Let's sing it. I think it's the first and third. First and third. First and third.
The solid rock I stand, all other ground.